what actually is meant by soaking in prayer, and how do you get involved politically in your own community?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with us on this Friday on The Line of Fire. I am sitting here with a big smile on my face because it's Friday. That means you've got questions. We've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Anything you want to ask me in any area of expertise that we have, anything you want to interact with me about in terms of what a previous guest had to say or something we covered on a previous broadcast, this is your moment. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. I always have so many questions I want to get into, e-questions and then your calls, that I don't always get to update you on some of my funny junk mail and things like that. But let me take a minute to take you into my world. First, just a little family matter. Last night, I was watching our grandkids for a few hours, took them to the mall to get some good, healthy food there, took them into the chocolate factory to get some candy and sweets, as grandparents do. Yeah, we get to do that. Isn't that cool? And then they were going to come home. Nancy and our daughter Meg were out for a while, but they knew that I was going to be busy writing. By God's grace, I'm knocking out chapter after chapter for what I believe will be the most effective Jewish outreach tool I've ever produced. So be praying for me. Please be praying for anointing and grace and clarity as I write. So anyway, get the kids set up. They're going to watch some children's video. Now remember, though, Eliana is 11 now. She said, Grandpa, could I use your tablet? I don't have an iPad. I've got a Motorola version. Could I use your tablet? And Andrew, who's 8, says, but we're watching a movie. And she says, yeah, but I have to be like an adult and do something else at the same time. I thought, you got to be kidding me. And then, just so you know, some of the high-level interaction that I have, one of my dear friends, an activist in D.C., committed Christian, praying, fasting, crying out for change in our society, a real good revolutionary spirit. We were supposed to talk the other day, so I'm waiting for his call, and I get an email. He said, Mike, I can't find your phone number. We've only known each other for, 20 years or something? I can't find your phone number. So I email him back, and I said, and you're going to lead a revolution? So he emails me back. Sam Adams, one of the key revolutionary leaders in American history, Sam Adams didn't have any cell phones. I said, all right, I'll meet you halfway between Charlotte and D.C. on horseback in 20 hours. Oh, yeah, that's some of the constructive way that we spend our time. By the way, I have received personal emails, wow, from Dr. Abit Suleiman, from Dr. Kwadwo Afari-Gion, from Mr. Andrew Wong, Donald Chang, Yahya Malik, Mr. Tan Wong, Norman Chan Tak Lam, Leng Shak Mui, Stacy Russell needs my response, just a regular name in there. Alexander Akuchukwu wants to hear from me. David Mehmet needs my guidance. The FBI is still needing an urgent response from me. Syed Hussein needs to hear from me, along with Lun Chung and Dr. Ikedi Ohakim. A special alert from Bank of America, PayPal, with a very tricky, bogus email, not from that, and Owama wants me to know that my ATM MasterCard payment is ready. It's just some of the emails I threw into my funny folder that came in. When you get a chance, interesting read. I just posted it on Town Hall. The Huffington Post, three rabbis and me. Ah. The plot thickens. The Huffington Post, three rabbis and me on townhall.com. Back with your questions. Change the world.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is this cool or what? Just got an email. Remember Jeff Cohen shared his testimony on the air a few weeks back, South African Jewish believer. Just sent me a note, led another Jew to the Lord in my office yesterday after about an hour of overcoming all her objections and anti-Jesus Jewish dogma. It was a deep and very real commitment with tears and joy all at the same time. Though these salvations are happening one at a time, what makes this unique is the common thread is that all these people are 100% Jewish and raised with all the classic objections, but after methodical and prayerful application of the three principles that God has given me to win Jews to their Messiah, they're getting saved and discipled one soul at a time for now, but I feel it's gaining momentum. Yes, 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 it is gaining momentum because it is God at work. It is God at work. 866-34-TRUTH. Adam asks, how do I get involved politically in my community? I hear about these laws being passed, and I don't like it. What is the way to make political change in my community and the country in general, Adam? You know, Adam, as much as I am very heavily involved in standing for moral social righteousness and have written my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and I'm actively engaged in the word God gave me, reach out and resist, reach out to the Jewish people, all people, but reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. I'm involved with that. Most of what I've been involved with is on the end of making a difference in terms of being a voice and sounding the alarm and equipping the body to minister and reaching out and then being a presence at events and those kinds of things and then alerting people of things going on to vote to stand. But if you will go to aqueerthing.com, that's the website with my book, aqueerthing.com, click on Get Involved. There's a whole section as to how to get involved politically, how to get involved in the schools. Now, it's specifically having to do with homosexual activism, but you will find that the same principles, the same links, the same news sources will help you. So aqueerthing.com, and then go specifically to Get Involved. And as you go through there, you will see the options for political involvement and the like. Gary wants to know, can you tell me who sings the show's theme songs? No, it's secret. It's revolutionaries. No, no, I'm messing with you. The opening song is written by Aaron Kreider. Aaron was a student of ours at Brown's Revival School of Ministry in Pensacola. He moved there with his wife, Holly, to be part of the school in ministry upon graduation. He became our worship leader as our fire church and fire school community was birthed in 2001 and was our worship leader for 9 years. He's now based in Texas. Aaron Kreider, C-R-I-D-E-R, aaronkreider.com, I believe is his website. But let me tell you what's especially needed about this. Aaron and his wife Holly are involved in a ministry of compassion now, getting people around the world to sponsor destitute kids, orphans, kids, little kids rescued out of sex trafficking. So it's a wonderful ministry the Lord's opened up as he travels and ministers in music. But that particular song, it's called Shake the Nations, and it calls for a Jesus revolution, take the gospel to the nations. What is really, really cool is that our missions director, Dr. Josh Peters, asked Aaron to write a song a few years back that would really hit on the theme of taking the gospel to the nations, the very theme he wrote, to be played and sung at our annual missions conference where we bring our missionaries in from different parts of the world and help raise funds to get them back out on the field and have them share with our community to stir hearts and share with our students so they'll get the burden for missions. So Aaron was blessed by the Lord to write this amazing song, Shake the Nations. So that's that. Well, we will play the whole song, the songs in full, one of these days. I just got to make a note to make sure we do it. The other one that you hear as we're fading out or coming in, Send the Fire, that's Lendell Cooley. Lendell was the worship leader during the Brownsville Revival. He's now based in Nashville. He's a wonderful songwriter, worship leader, has a tremendous heart for God. He's really not caught up in the hype of things or the big activity. He is caught up in worshiping the Lord and bringing people into the Lord's presence. And that song was originally written by William Booth, Send the Fire. Great, great revolutionary words. Great words of taking the gospel to the streets and making a real radical difference. It was updated, put to more contemporary music a few years ago, and then Lendl sang it at Brownsville, and that's where that comes from. I mean, those two songs, Share My Heart, Speak My Heart, Revival, Jesus Revolution, Be Touched by God, Set Ablaze, Go Out and Change Your World. John Wesley was asked how he drew the crowds. He said, I set myself on fire, and people come to watch me burn. To the phones, Wilfred in Clifton, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I'm calling you because someone called you about 2 weeks ago, and they asked a question about Genesis chapter 12, verse 3.
Okay.
Where God say, I will bless them that bless thee,
yes,
and I curse them that curse thee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that person doesn't believe that God cursed Germany. Because if you come to see Germany right now, it's the most prosperous nation in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God did curse them because the United States and Britain, World War II, they destroyed the cities of Germany.
Yeah, what actually happened, just to jump in, as we continue to have that discussion, it was very enlightening. I said to our callers, let's discuss this. And Wilfred, what was really concluded was that there was terrible, terrible devastation. It doesn't have to last for multiple generations, but there was a terrible consequence on the German people and the German nation. You're absolutely right. Great hardship.
Well, see,
I agree.
I agree with you. The only thing that person doesn't understand is that, you know, this is a prophecy, because if God allowed Germany to come out again as a prosperous nation, it's because he has the purpose for that.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, though? It is illegal to deny the Holocaust in Germany, and Germany is actually a friend and political ally of Israel today. However, there are indications in recent polls that one out of every five Germans has never heard of Auschwitz, which, of course, was in Poland, but the most notorious concentration camp, and that there is anti-Semitism among Germans, the way they're measuring it, about 20%. So,
yes,
of course, it's remarkable. It's sad, but you're right, Wilfred. Even if people take the Jewish equation out, just butchering of human lives like that has to bring terrible devastation on a nation. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, listen, I can go in detail because I don't have the time. But you, one of the reasons I'm calling you too is because you know, someone sent me a magazine every month for a year. And the magazine is the trumpet.com. I would like you to get that loaded down in your computer, because they send it to you free. You don't have to pay a penny.
All right. Well, great. Hey, Wilfred, I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Gloria in Hollywood, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I just have a question. I hope it's not ignorant, but I wanted to know, when I'm in conversation with someone and, you know, somebody I don't know, and then I ask them, oh, well, you know, I'm Hispanic or Puerto Rican, you know, what are you? And they'll say, I'm Jewish. So I'm confused. I thought Judaism was a religion and not so much your nationality, or is that all-encompassing? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, it's obviously a question that once you press, more issues come up. Let's distinguish between being a Jew and practicing Judaism. That's the first thing. Judaism is a religion. There are many Jews who do not practice Judaism. There are Jewish atheists. There's even something called a Jewish Buddhist. I've had a rabbi told my dad when I was a brand new believer and was going to be baptized, and I did not have a deep Jewish consciousness of what my faith meant. I just meant at that time, I just knew I'd been radically changed by the Lord. And the rabbi said to my dad, don't worry about it. What do you call a Jew who's been baptized? And he told my dad, a baptized Jew. So in that sense, you are born a Jew, you die a Jew. It is an ethnic thing. It has to do with lineage. There were children of Israel that were apostate, that were away from God. They were still the children of Israel. So practicing Judaism is one thing. That is practicing a particular religion, whereas being Jewish has to do with ethnicity, has to do with lineage.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. I just want to let you know I am relatively a new Christian, and I really appreciate how current, honest, and knowledgeable your show is. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, Gloria, thank you. I'm blessed to be here for you. And if you get a chance, there's a book I wrote called 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. You can find it on my website or any online book dealer, probably in your bookstore too. 60 questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. So you'll find lots and lots of relevant info written exactly for someone like you, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you again. Have a great day.
All right, you're welcome. God bless you. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. My joy to be taking your calls. Some fascinating emails. Report I shared in the second hour, I didn't share in the first hour yesterday, but the chief rabbi of Nebraska, got a copy of Shmuley's Kosher Jesus book and said, if Dr. Michael Brown endorses it, that's a bad sign for Jews. All right, we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, check this out. Just get the Gay Politics Report. This is used to be called the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Smart Brief. Tells you what's happening in their community from their perspective. And the headline story, outrage as New Jersey governor calls for a vote on marriage rights. How dare he let the people vote? How dare he let the people vote? And Christie likened the issue to the civil rights battles of the 1960s, saying a popular vote on those issues would have been preferable to civil unrest. The remark drew outrage from African-American political leaders who said the governor seemed not to understand how unpopular civil rights reform was at the time. According to Newark Mayor Cory Booker, also a close friend of Rabbi Shmuley, dear God, we should not be putting civil rights issues to a popular vote to be subject to the sentiments, the passions of the day. Well, redefining marriage, sir, is not a civil rights issue. Redefining marriage is not a civil rights issue. And what about all the African-American pastors that 100% oppose the redefinition of marriage? How about hearing from them? 866-34 For truth. Colleen in Norton, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I know that the record of the genealogies was destroyed in the temple in 70 AD when Jerusalem was, you know, destroyed by the Romans. So what other reason is there that the Messiah had to come other than to be able to prove his genealogy?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's one I raise in answering Jewish objections to Jesus, especially in Volume 1, but something I raise very commonly in debates. The genealogical record issue is more a matter of dispute, because there are many people that would say that we can trace our family records and lineage way back, and what records were and weren't destroyed. Let's just say there's some debate about that. People may be sure about it, but I've seen questions raised. That, to me, is very secondary, because in point of fact, nobody was asking for genealogical records with Jesus, and the fact that he was virginally conceived meant that he was not a physical descendant from his father Joseph. So either there was more to the story, and the Messiah was the son of David and yet greater than David, or the New Testament accounts aren't accurate. So the genealogical record is secondary to me. It's interesting that in the society of the day, the community of the Dead Sea Scrolls really felt that they were the end time, last days community and waiting for redemption, Redeemer to come. And then in the generation after Jesus, there was a Jewish revolt against Rome with the sense of they've got to break off the tyranny of Rome. So it was a unique time in Jewish history. But there were three prophecies that I base things on. Number one, Habakkuk, the second chapter, that says that the glory of the second temple would be greater than the glory of the first temple. God would fill it with glory. It doesn't just mean material wealth, gold and silver. It means more than that, God filling it with his glory. Yet when you compare the first temple to the second, in no way was it filled with greater glory unless something happened there. That's number one. And the rabbis also recognized it, said the divine fire and the presence of God, even the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments, none of those were in the second temple. In what sense was it filled with greater glory? God himself filled the first temple with glory, and fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. None of that happened the first time. So question mark, how was the glory of the second temple greater? Second piece of evidence, Malachi, the third chapter, the Lord promises that he will visit that temple and bring cleansing to his people, that he himself will visit the temple. The Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. When did that happen? Third piece of evidence, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. There's all kinds of debate in terms of the exact chronology. How does it work itself out? But this much is very clear. This much is sure, that eternal redemption and atonement for sin had to be made before the second temple was destroyed. That's the ending we come to there in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. So I ask the question, if the Messiah came and died for our sins and provided everlasting atonement, and in his person, in the person of the Messiah, the Lord himself visits and then not only works miracles there, but then sends his spirit to that temple at Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, after he rises from the dead. If all those things happened, then the prophecies came to pass. If those things didn't happen, the prophecies didn't come to pass. I've discussed this with rabbis, counter-missionaries for years, and many of them have told me it was supposed to happen, but it didn't because of our sins. I say, of course it happened because God said it would, but we missed it on a national level because of our sins. Those are the strongest pieces of evidence. There are also rabbinic traditions that point in the direction that redemption was expected about 2,000 years ago. What happened? I say it started right on time, just not the way we were expecting. And we missed the Messiah when he came. And we have been in a transition age ever since. The Messianic era has broken in, but we are still in this world. So it's an already not yet. He's already come and started the work of redemption, but we have not yet seen the full answer. So Daniel 9, Malachi 3, Haggai 2, put together, he had to come before the second temple was destroyed.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. God bless
you.
Have
a good day.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, we had a wonderful response to the Jonathan Kahn interview yesterday. And I have to tell you, I was aware of the book, but I didn't know some of the other circumstances surrounding it. His first book, okay, knew that. Didn't have a publisher. Finished the book. He's in an airport getting ready to speak at Promise Keepers. He bows his head for a moment. A guy comes over to him with a prophetic message for him that he's got this book and it's supposed to get out. Connects him with Steve Strang, with Charisma Publishers, Charisma Media, and Frontline Books, one of their outlets for publishing. And next thing, the book is getting pre-orders. They've got to print 50,000 copies. They printed 250,000 copies. Look, I'm an author. I've been writing books since 1985. These things don't just happen. It gets our attention. If you've not yet ordered a copy of The Harbinger, $17 postage paid, call us at 1-800-278-9978. But before you pick up the phone, 1-800-278-9978, I want to give you an opportunity to stand with us. Being on the radio across the country costs hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's just very expensive to do radio. It is unbelievably efficient for reaching lots of people, way, way less expensively than you can with TV or booking auditoriums and bringing people together. But the overall cost is a lot of money. It costs hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. We right now, as we are stepping into our second year on some major national stations that you're listening to us with and continuing in our fourth year and other places, we need you to stand with us. But we have someone who is generously taking every gift that comes in and multiplying it by 50%. So $100 gift becomes $150. $1,000 gift becomes $1,500. $20 gift becomes $30. So if you don't have the book, order it. But so into the work here. Help us, stand with us. I just saw a large stack of books of mine that have been translated into many languages we got out of storage, and I was reminded how by God's grace we're making an impact around the world. But we can't do it alone. This is a joint effort. If you're blessed by the program, express your appreciation by standing with us. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And for these next days, whatever comes in gets multiplied again in half. What a great opportunity to make a difference. 1-800-278-9978. You know, as we sow generously, we reap generously.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friend, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. You've got questions, we've got answers. Our joy to take your questions, do our best to provide solid biblical answers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael wants to know about blood. I listen to your show daily. I believe you speak the truth. My question is, why does God require a blood sacrifice? What it is about the shedding of blood that satisfies God? You know, Michael, when I got saved, I was wonderfully transformed, and I didn't ask a ton of questions in terms of the meaning of everything, because it was all new, and little by little I was understanding. And most of all, I read the scriptures for myself, and that's how I kept learning. So the question about blood, I mean, we're used to it. Oh, the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood, the power of the blood. We sing these songs, but someone looking from the outside is like, what? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What? Washed in the blood? There was a guy, a friend of mine, well, I barely knew him. He played in the orchestra, the school orchestra. I played the band in the orchestra, percussion. I'd gotten saved, talked to him in the high school lunchroom one day. I tried to talk to a new person every day. And my approach then was not the wisest, but God was with me with my zeal, and he was saving people. I just sat down in the lunchroom, go up to a new person I'd never talked to before, said, hey, can I talk to you? If they said yes, some would just say no and get up and walk away. It's like, all right, I guess they know what's coming. But if they said yes, I would say to them, are you saved? And so this guy replies to me. He goes, I don't know, and I'm really wrestling with it. I don't even know if there's a God. I went to talk to my pastor. I mean, God was dealing with him deeply, very intensely. And they used to call him Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I mean, he didn't get high. He didn't get drunk. He didn't sleep around. He didn't use profanity. Well, he gets wonderfully saved. But he didn't know why we kept singing about the Calvary. Or the Calvary. Is it Calvary? Is it Calvary? He didn't know. We were singing this wonderful song at Calvary, or is it Calvary? And he didn't know why we're singing about the horse riders and the army, but he was so happy. Then found out what it was, the place where Jesus died, a different word. So what about the blood? Very, very simple. Very, very simple. It's not that God has some kind of bloodlust. It's not that he's like some heavenly vampire and blood. It's not that you had to satisfy him with, like, some pagan deity who likes blood. No. Everything in the sacrificial system was to open our understanding. Everything that came before was to minister to the people of Israel and to bring them into relationship with God and to reveal to them their need for a Messiah and to point them to the Redeemer. The reason for blood is because the blood is the life. It is the most visible, clear thing. You drain out the blood, there is no life. The life is in the blood. And the sacrificial system was teaching the principle of life for life. And it was doing it in a very vivid way at all. The sacrificial blood poured out was God's way of saying the penalty of sin is death, and the remedy is in the death of an innocent victim provided by way of sacrifice. Now, those sacrifices had a certain effectiveness, but their ultimate effectiveness was to point to the one who would come, to point to the Messiah by whose blood all of us are saved. And think of this as well. If someone dies in their sleep, if someone dies of a protracted illness versus someone dies of violent death, brutalized, hanging on the cross, flogged, publicly humiliated, which gives a clearer picture of the ravages of sin? Which gives a clearer picture of the penalty of sin? Which gives a clearer picture to the destructive impact of sin? Surely that bloody scene. Sin brings death. The solution is in the death of an innocent victim. Praise God, that innocent victim is the Son of God himself. And we are washed with the blood.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, just want to remind you of a special opportunity we have and an appeal from my heart to you who are blessed by this broadcast to stand with us. You wouldn't think of going into a restaurant and eating and then leaving without paying. If you're faithful in your home congregation, I trust you support the work there, believing in it. If we're ministering to you here on the radio, we have to pay for the privilege of ministering to you, and it's a wonderful privilege. But in order to do it, it costs a lot of money, and we are listener-supported. We've only been able to be on speaking to all of you because folks came with some very, very generous gifts because they said, we want you to take this message across the nation. Every show on the radio, every show on TV that's raised up by the Lord, every pastor preaching on a pulpit, every street minister, if we're raised up by God, we each have a unique purpose. But let me ask you a question. Is what we're doing making a difference in a unique way as well? Wednesday of this week, second hour, Frank Turek and I had a one-hour debate with a gay activist advocating the redefinition of marriage. Just a few days before that, I had a two-hour debate with an Orthodox Jewish rabbi who was a former Christian pastor. A couple days before that, we had a married debate, invited Catholic callers and Protestant callers to weigh in. We're on the front lines of dealing with gay activism. We're on the front lines of Jewish outreach. On a constant basis, we are hearing from people who've been touched, who've been changed by materials. We are so grateful to God for that. But it's something we do together, and we've been, someone wants to help us further our radio outreach and meet all of our obligations. And they said for every dollar that comes in, they'll make it $1.50. So it's a wonderful day to give, to stand with us. If you believe in what we're doing, please call 1-800-278-9978. We need to raise multiple tens of thousands of dollars in a short period of time. But with all of you listening, it's not hard at all. If each one stands up and says, hey, I want to make a difference, whether it's $10 becoming $15 or $100 becoming $150 or $1,000 becoming $1,500, and I can joyfully ask because it doesn't go in my pocket. It doesn't go in my pocket. It doesn't go in our staff pocket. It goes, all of this will go 100% directly into helping us talk to more people by way of radio. And I think that's good news. And you friends sharing the reward together with us and help make it possible. So call us today. Really encourage me as well. 1-800-278-9978. Adam in Killeen, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, man, what does Jesus want us to do? That's my question. You know what I'm saying? What does he want us to do?
What do you think?
What
do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I don't know. My question is, like, when you, like, I mean, are we supposed to drop everything, drop our jobs, and, like, do mission stuff? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be sarcastic or anything like that.
I appreciate it.
I'm curious what your point of view is.
Yeah. First thing, he wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to really get to know him, to really understand who he is, to really develop a deep relationship so he is our very best friend and God is our Father. And he wants us to bear fruit wherever we are. The most effective soul-winning days I ever had on a personal level were when I was in high school and then working a secular job. In other words, in the world, around unsafe people all the time, that's going to be the number one mission field, your community, your family, your friends. So here's what you do. It's real simple.
Yeah.
And when you go as a missionary overseas, it's not like people have signs up saying, we are all pagans, we are all lost, please help us, please reach us. Many times you have to work a job, you have to get involved in the community. Some of our missionaries in the Philippines, my former assistant Trent and his family, they're part of a company there, and they have led more people to the Lord through the company they started than most missionaries will do maybe in a year of hard work. So, but there's a simple principle. Do what your hand finds to do. The Bible says if any man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So you're responsible. You work your job. You don't depend on the government to take care of you, the church to take care of you. If you're able to work, you work. But do what you know how to do right where you are.
Okay.
Share the gospel.
Do what you know how to do.
Do what you know how to do. Now here's the principle, Adam. If you walk in the light that you have, it'll get brighter and brighter. In other words, for me, doing that, doing what I knew how to do, it got to a bursting point where God made it clear, leave your job and go teach at this Bible school on Long Island. and I knew I had to do it. I gave notice on my job before I ever talked to anyone at the school. I called my mom and said, hey, Mom, I'm going to be moving out further out on the island. Came home and, of course, told Nancy immediately I'm going to be leaving my job. I mean, I knew it was the Lord, and he's opened every door since then, since 1983. But it almost has to burst where you're so busy.
It's like dropping everything. It's not dropping your whole life. It's doing what you know how to do. It's doing what you're already kind of in line with, but giving yourself to God and loving Him with all your heart. That's
right. It's using your whole life right where you are to make a difference. And every day, start off the day, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me, make me fully usable. And then you're on the mission field all day. You work your job diligently. You love your family. You're a good neighbor. But all of it is part of being a 24/7 full-time worker for Jesus. And then if He calls you to do it in a different form where you leave your secular job and employed just in the kingdom, fine. But that's how you do it. Hey, Adam, thank you for the question, man. God bless you. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Gene in East Chicago, Indiana, which I did not know existed. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
All right. I'm a leader at my church, and mm-hmm. It's kind of a joke now. Where whenever anyone has a tough question, they come to me to ask it, and I got stumped. So I wanted to ask you. The question is it possible for a husband to lust after his wife? And if so, is that lust considered a sin?
Okay. Very, very fair question. So let me answer this as clearly as I can. Now, Gene, the problem is you get stumped, you come to me, but who do I go to when I get stumped? No, I'm kidding. We're all learning, we're all growing, so we keep asking one another. Okay.
Go to the word first of all. But
right. The Greek word for desire is epithumia. It can mean sinful desire, but in and of itself, it does not have to mean sinful desire. It often does, but it just means desire. Now, Proverbs 5, for example, is very clear that a man should not be infatuated with another woman, a woman he's not married to, but rather he should passionately love his wife, and all of his passions, all of his desires, his sexual desires should be towards her. I mean, the language is fairly vivid in the passage. So we should absolutely have a sexual attraction to our wives, a physical attraction to our wives. In fact, I heard a Christian leader on a secular show say that rather than thinking about other women or fantasizing about other women or women about other men, that our spouse, that should be the model of beauty for us and desire. And if God brings you together in a loving relationship, then there is no question that there's an attraction, and that attraction can be there for life. So the question is, what's meant by lust? If it means that a man should not be thinking longing thoughts about his wife and looking forward to sexual intimacy, well, no, of course not. That's how God made us, and that's the healthy, right outlet. If it means that instead of fantasizing over some porn star, he's now going to fantasize over his wife and make her into a sexual object, that would be wrong. So it's the nature of the desire. If the nature of the desire is healthy, a healthy sexual desire, as opposed to something perverted or pornographic or just making the spouse into a sex object, as long as the desire is a healthy sexual desire, absolutely. And it's a good thing to do. A husband, if he's away from his wife, should be thinking about her, not somebody else. And that should be the object of his affection, his romantic attraction, his best friend outlet, as well as a sexual connection. And that's right and healthy the way God ordained it. All right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's along the lines of what I was thinking, but just wanted to hear someone else's opinion.
Well, we are in sync, man. You go get them with solid answers for your church.
Thank you.
Just call it Ask Gene. Ask Gene Ministries. Thanks, man.
You know what it is? They say just jag it. Just ask Gene. Jag it.
All right, cool. I like it.
But I'll be sowing into your ministry, especially now that the opportunity is given about 50% more. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Oh, well, thank you, Gene. That means a lot to us. I appreciate it. Yeah, folks, in case you didn't hear it, as we are in the process of believing God for tens of thousands of dollars, you know why we're believing God? Because I don't have a lot of rich friends that I can call and say, hey, we need a few hundred thousand dollars for radio. So I'm like you. We got to pray, and we got to ask God. But if everybody pitches in together, you know, if you go out to some restaurant and you've got, you know, 30 people for a birthday party and everybody's chipping in, you know, to pay for the bill, some buffet somewhere, you know, it's maybe 15, 20 bucks per person. You got 20 people, that's $400. That's a lot to pay for a restaurant. But if everybody pays, not a problem at all. So we have the special opportunity, in case you didn't hear it, that someone is standing with us. If we get $80,000, they'll give $40,000. I mean, they are really generous, and they're saying, hey, come on, we want to help you. We're going to give you a shot in the arm so you can be on the radio touching more and more people. But we need you to stand with us. So your gifts that come in, not going anywhere else except right back into radio, which is the hub of what we do here on the Line of Fire. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with us on the Line of Fire. Again, keep praying for me. By God's grace, I'm writing day and night a book that I believe will be the number one Jewish outreach tool I have ever produced. Absolutely informative for Christians, but the perfect book to give to a Jewish person wondering, seeking. Please be praying. I'm experiencing God's favor and grace. It's not every day I get in a role like this where the stuff is flowing out of me, and I'm excited as I'm writing because I'm watching it happen and learning it or seeing how it's expressed as it comes out. Thank you for praying. Right, before I go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, great question from Ruth. King James, Luke 11, 27, 28, this is on the heels of our Mary debate. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather those who hear the word of God and keep it." The New Jerusalem Bible, Catholic version, he replies in verse 28, "More blessed still are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Ruth asks, "Can you tell me which version is actually more accurate? I realize the differences are subtle, but one makes the point more strongly than the other." Almost every translation I'm looking at says rather. Now, there are a few that are Protestant translations or a Messianic that say far more blessed, even more blessed. But the Greek word that's used, menun, is normally a word used for meaning rather or on the contrary. For example, one analytical Greek lexicon says it's a particle used especially in answers to emphasize or correct something on the contrary rather. So if I didn't know anything and was just translating those verses in context with no theological bias, I would translate with rather. At the very least, it's saying even more blessed. So even more blessed than the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you, even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In all likelihood, though, rather is a better translation, but even if it's even more, that more blessed still. I mean, that Catholic translation is still saying something very powerful as well. Let's see, Matt in Alexandria, Virginia. All right, we lost Matt. Matt was wondering about how to influence a Jewish agnostic. Let me just say quickly, there's no magical formula. Obviously, you really want to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict the person. You really want to pray that they'll recognize their need for God. That is very, very important. But if you can just talk to them about the reality of Jewish people existing, how is it we're still here? How is it the scriptures prophesied that we'd be scattered around the world and regathered? It's never happened to a people that's been out of their homeland this long and maintain their identity back to their land. Or that the Bible speaks of Jerusalem being a city of controversy for the whole world, Zechariah 12 and 14. How was that accurately known? I mean, why Jerusalem? Hardly a likely city to speak that about 2,500 years ago. There's a book by John Phillips. It's an old classic. John McCandlish Phillips, a dear colleague in New York, former Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times columnist. The Bible, the Supernatural, and the Jews. Get a copy of it and see if a Jewish agnostic will read it. It could be very eye-opening for them. The Bible, the Supernatural, and the Jews. Alfreda wants to know, what in the world is prayer soaking? people use different terminologies. This is a term that is used in some charismatic circles to talk about one of two things, either just bathing yourself in God's presence, going in a room with other believers and by yourself, putting on worship music, praying, just communing with God and just staying in his presence. Not so much interceding, God, I pray for this, but just communing, just drinking in his presence, drinking in his goodness. Some would call it meditative or contemplative prayer. That's how some mean it. Some would just lay on their faces in his presence and not say a word and just be caught up with worship and meditating on the sounds of the words of the song and things like that. Others refer to when someone is praying for you, for God to touch you and bless you and anoint you, and they keep praying for you so you are, quote, soaked. Like any practice that the Bible does not explicitly address, it could be used positively or negatively. I've seen it used positively by people who've really come into communion with the Lord and gotten away from the busy, got to do, and have concentrated more on being and understood that they are sons and daughters of God, and it's not a matter of running around in some kind of spiritual frenzy. I know others that being prayed for by someone that the Holy Spirit was really upon, they have really been touched and anointed and changed. And I know others that make it into some spiritual ritual, others that make it an excuse for non-activity, others that almost get superstitious about it. So it all depends on how things are applied. But let's agree on this. We often talk past each other with terminology. I say one thing, you hear another. You say one thing, I hear another. That often happens. What we need to do is concentrate on understanding what the other person's saying. And even if the particular style or practice is different than what we're used to, if it's not contrary to Scripture, that's the big thing. If it's not contrary to Scripture, then we have to look at the fruit. In other words, if it's not written against in the Bible, if it's not contrary to the Scripture revelation of who Jesus is and what the Holy Spirit does and biblical foundations, then we have to look at the fruit. And if the fruit for someone is they've drawn closer to the Lord, they're more engaged in living out the Word and having the Word in their hearts, their character is becoming more and more godly, and they are touching other people with the gospel and making a difference, then you say it looks like the Holy Spirit is at work. All right, we've got an hour more to take your calls, answer your questions. So even if I'm going off the air in your particular area, our phones still work. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you did not order Jonathan Cahn's The Harbinger, which is it's just amazing with what's happened with that book, at the very least, the way it has suddenly been published and become a national bestseller with 250,000 copies printed already, and the publisher has to keep pushing out more in a hurry. These things don't just happen. At the very least, I believe God wants us to consider what's there and then come to your own conclusions, work the things through. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. And my last appeal today, and we're going to have some really neat testimonies I trust will bless you, edify you in the coming days as well, some exciting programming. We're going to make this opportunity available. My appeal to you, if you consider me a friend, coworker, and you're blessed, whatever you can do, don't worry about it being small. Some of you can give very generously. Stand with us. Every dollar that comes in becomes $1.50. Every $100 that comes in becomes $150. Every $1,000 that comes in becomes $1,500 through the generous help of a friend. I don't even know who this person is, but they say, we want to help you, stand with you. So call to sow into the ministry. No gimmicks, no hype, no magical answers to prayer if you give to us, no expensive cars appearing in your driveway if you give to us, but treasure in heaven and a great effective ministry down here on earth. Plus, you'll encourage me personally. So call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to AskDrBrown.org. Do it right on the website, AskDrBrown.org, click support. My bottom line, so what do we do with our lives? What does Jesus want from us? Oh, just everything. Heart, soul, mind, strength, life, desires, everything we have, everything we are. Here I am, Lord. Send me, use me, starting right where I live today.
What do you say to someone you're sharing the gospel with and they say, why should I be interested in a Jewish God or its Messiah?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, it is a joy to be with you this Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers here on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Some fascinating e-questions I'm going to get to, and your calls. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. If you have not yet read my article, just came out this morning on the Huffington Post. It should have come out in the Huffington Post, but they wouldn't print my article after printing misinformation about me. They wouldn't print it, so I told the whole story, but in an edifying way over Town Hall, townhall.com, the Huffington Post, three rabbis, and me. Now, I had a conversation with someone on our staff, on our team earlier, who was thinking it should be the Huffington Post, three rabbis, and I. When I read it, it's like, no, it's grammatically incorrect. Well, of course, the point was, if it's all depending on the sentence and what was in the person's mind. So in my mind, this is a story. This is an article about the Huffington Post, three rabbis, and me. It's about the Huffington Post. It's about three rabbis. It's about me. That's how you figure out if it's me or I. You put it in the sentence there. If it was, now, Joe, Sam, and I went to town. The Huffington Post, three rabbis, and I have a story to tell, then that would be different. So that's why it's posted like that. But read it. You'll enjoy it. The three rabbis and me, Huffington Post, three rabbis and me at townhall.com. For those of you who listened to the debate with Mitchell Gold, we exchanged books, gay activist Mitchell Gold, we exchanged books. I gave him A Queer Thing Happened to America. He gave me his crisis book. We signed them graciously one to another. Well, not all listeners were happy with Frank Turek and me, especially those that Mitchell Gold encouraged to listen. But that's why we have these dialogues. That's why we have these dialogues. So someone wrote in and said this, no longer a listener. No longer a listener. I'm curious to know how long you've been listening, because I've addressed these issues quite a lot over the months, over the years. No longer a listener. I agree with you on most issues. I've been listening to you for quite some time. Well, I do appreciate that. But I couldn't believe how obnoxious you and Mr. Turek were to Mitchell Gold. You two acted like immature teenage boys, bullying someone who's different than you. Oh, don't you see, dear friend, whether you're male, female, I don't know, because there's not a name here. Don't you see how this whole bullying thing is set up in people's minds? Don't you understand that look, Chastity Chaz Bono gets booted off Dancing with the Stars, probably only stayed on as long as she did because of popularity and the attention that the show would get. I don't watch the show, but I read somewhere that should have been booted off earlier, gets booted off and says she was bullied. It's not bullying to have a difference. It's not. In fact, Frank and I went out of our way and discussed it with Mitchell. Said, the one thing I will not let happen is that you feel you're ganged up on. So that's why I let him talk for a while, and Frank would respond. I weighed in here and there. And out of Christian conscience, out of conscience before the Lord, Frank and I actually went back to listen to the show, because we told Mitchell, I was so clear in advance, I do not want you to feel ganged up on. But instead, when we differ with someone respectfully, you two acted like immature teenage boys. Friend, you've really got to look at this and think about how your thinking is shaped and skewed. The stats you're reciting are incorrect. Of course they're correct. You think we made them up? You think the 1,500 endnotes in the back of A Queer Thing Happened to America were manufactured? You can repeat the lies as often as you like. It doesn't make them true. Please look into the data and face it. The younger generation can see right through you. That's a shame. That's why church attendance is down. Ah, you know where church attendance is up? Where the real gospel's preached. People are thriving. And you know what's happening there? People are coming out of homosexuality. They're coming out of lesbianism. They're coming out of bisexuality. They're coming out of other things. And they're finding freedom. Freedom. It's wonderful. Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, those of you who listened to the debate dialogue with Frank Turek, Mitchell Gold, and myself, one of the points I have made, friends, for some years is those who came out of the closet, activists saying they're fighting for equality, tolerance, gay activists, want to put us in the closet. In other words, don't want any opposition to their position. I get mocked for that. I get mocked for that constantly. People will take an excerpt where I've said that on a TV show or radio, and gay activists and other liberals will mock it, will mock it. Friends, this is reality, and here is a typical email. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This is from Pablo. Free speech espousing hate, even disguised as pseudo or real religious speech, is still hate speech. Hate speech is any and all circumstances, in any and all circumstances, is not protected by U.S. law. If you use religion to disagree your hatred of other groups, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Friends, it's as clear as day. People want to silence us. If we say the only thing that the human race has known worldwide in terms of an institution, a recognized thing, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. It could be multiple women, that's been in history, but marriage is the union of a man and woman. And this is, there are good reasons for it, and that's what God established at creation. We think it's best to have a child joined to a mom and dad. Hate speech! You should be shut up. I'm warning you, friends. I'm warning you, friends. I'm telling you again, speak now or forever hold your peace. Do you understand? Your religious freedoms are being taken away. If you say, you know, according to the Bible, all sexual involvement, all sexual activity outside of wedlock, be it fornication, be it adultery, be it same-sex activity, is forbidden by God and sinful. Hate speech! You should be, quote, called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Friends, this is dangerous. This is deception. This is anti-God. This is anti-religion. This is anti-American. And it's coming your way. It is coming your way. What do? We pray for a fresh baptism of love in our hearts, and we reach out to people with compassion, and we stand our ground. Otherwise, what are you going to tell your kids and grandkids when they come to you and say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing when they took away your rights? What were you doing when they put you in the closet? Oh, we were just going in the closet ourselves and shutting the door and raising you in the next generation in a way that it's going to impact you negatively because we weren't willing to take a stand. We weren't willing to do what was right. We weren't willing to speak up. Okay, I know it's you've got questions. We've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH. But I wanted to share that with you. It is my sacred obligation to share that with you. 866-34-8784. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Marshall in Lebanon, Connecticut, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
All right, Dr. Brown, you doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Okay, great. Well, this is a difficult question, and if it's not answerable, I'm willing to live with mystery. Now, as David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've learned to keep your instruction. When I first got saved, I just accepted things by faith, but now to be a good apologist, I want to understand. Now, Matthew 11, verses 13 through 14 says that Jesus said about John the Baptist, if you can accept it, he is Elijah to come. And other places it says he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Mm-hmm. But John said plainly when he was asked in John 1:21, I'm not Elijah.
Yep.
Can you give me a midrash or an explanation of that?
Yeah, it is a great question. And there are going to be different views on it. This is the simplest answer I can give you, and it may work for you, it may not. In other words, I don't know that it's 100% conclusive. But there were different expectations that we know of. And John 1:21, for example, one of the verses that you posted for Dwight, our call screener today. John 1:21, when they come to him, are you Elijah, are you the prophet, are you the Messiah? We know that there was Jewish expectation for a messianic figure or two messianic figures, a priest of the Messiah and a royal Messiah. There was expectation for the prophet, the great prophet, and that seems to be separate from Elijah. And so they want to know, are you one of these personages? Now, why doesn't he say that he's Elijah? Because there must have been some misunderstanding as to what that actually meant. Just like if Jesus said, yes, I'm the Messiah, they would have misinterpreted it in terms of political terms. Certainly Peter did when he confessed to him as the Messiah. They wanted to try to stop him from going to the cross. So Jesus is saying he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. If you can accept that and understand it, then you'll recognize the mission. But it could well be that there is a literal coming of Elijah that will be involved at the end of the age, that there could be a literal Elijah and a literal coming, or the other possibility is that they simply were misunderstanding what it meant, and therefore he had to answer them with a no, lest they took it wrongly and tied it in with their political thoughts or the other thoughts about what the role of Elijah was to be. That's my best take on it.
As usual, my hat's off to you, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you.
866-34-TRUTH. All right, Dwight, as soon as I find out where Levin is from or Levon, I want to put him in, put him on. Let me just look at a couple more emails that came in. Rosemary, just listened to some of your interview with Mitchell Gold. Again, my heart was broken and spirit stirred. I have attached a letter I sent to our North Carolina representatives before they voted on the North Carolina amendment coming up on the ballot this May. I've spoken to some of them in person. It was like talking to a cold statue in some cases. You are the one speaking to me that is blinded by bigotry. Read how the church has handled slavery, mixed marriages, etc. I heard your words at the end of the program as if a prayer. Jesus died for all. We are all made in God's image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, spirit. You want to kill someone's spirit, deny their bodies and souls. The human love our Lord puts in our hearts for someone. You and others like you will have a lot to answer for at the judgment. You might make it in at the gates. You will most likely be surprised who is there, who is not there. Hey, Rosemary, think you might be surprised? Think you might be blinded? You're telling me I'm blinded. I'm giving my life to reach people. I'm the one that said those words. I'm involved with ministries that spend hours and months and years working with people who are sexually broken from 100 different backgrounds. We're going for it. We're giving ourselves to make a difference. But we will not go against God and his word, Rosemary. I'm not going to change the Bible because it hurts somebody's feelings. If I really love someone, I'm going to tell them the truth. And I know that God has a better way than men having sex with men and women having sex with women. And a man undergoing sex change surgery to try to become a woman and still not being a woman. I'm sure that God has a better way than sending your 8-year-old boy to school to use the girls' bathroom and then putting that kid on hormone blockers when they're 10 years old. I'm sure God has a better way than that. And I care about people enough to tell them the truth. And I'm not going to vote to redefine marriage, to trash the institution of marriage even further by changing its meaning and just say it's two. Hey, let me ask you a question. Why is it only two people? I'm not talking about polygamy. I just want to know, why is marriage two people? Why the magic number two? I can go out to dinner with someone. It can be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10. You can go on a date with a few people. Hey, a few couples go out, a few individuals go out. Why is marriage two people? It's because it has the essential ingredients of a man and a woman coming together. And are you going to tell me also that dads don't matter. Dads don't matter at all. Kid can have two moms. A boy can be raised with two moms. He doesn't need a dad. Moms don't matter. Moms are material. Girl can be raised with two dads. Moms don't matter. The thing that's hurtful, as I get on my knees and shed tears over these issues, as I read the stories of people who've been hurt, of people who say the church hurt them, and I agonize in prayer over them, and I say, Father, what can I do? How can I help? What do you want me to do? And then you not even knowing me, not knowing the tears shed in private and the efforts made to reach and help people in public, say I'm blinded by bigotry. Could it be, Rosemary, that you're blinded? Is that a possibility? Is it a possibility? Well, here's another perspective from Stephanie. Enjoy listening to the show every day. WDRU from Durham, I think. Or TRU, Mitchell Gold was very resistant to any kind of reason or tolerance for other points of view. He kept justifying himself and his position on homosexual teens and could not be reasoned with. He got off topic several times discussing divorce, racial issues, civil rights, etc., which were not part of the focus. Why not just say it's wrong behavior because God says it's wrong? You can't reason with someone like that. He'll never admit to seeing your point of view. Scripture is the only thing that will ever get through to people. You don't have to reply necessarily. I enjoy listening to the show. Wanted to comment on that discussion. And let me just come back to a comment from Rosemary. Rosemary, people in the church mishandled slavery because they misused the Bible. They mishandled segregation because they misused the Bible. They mishandled the issue of women's rights because they misused the Bible. They are saying that homosexual practice is sin because they are rightly using the Bible. If you're willing to watch a video lecture I gave in this, where I get into the word in depth on it, you let me know. We'll send you the link. You can watch it free online, or we'll send you a DVD for free if you prefer that. You let us know. If you're open, let's talk about it. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. All right, let me get to the phones. LaVon in King, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Really not much I can add to the conversation that you had with Mitchell Gold the other day, other than just to say thank you for doing what you're doing, be a cheerleader out here, say prayers for you and for the whole situation there, and just to kind of equate some of the backlash, and you know this, but some of the backlash that you're going to get, it's just the equivalent is if you criticize Barack Obama, you're a racist. And this is the same way almost. If you say anything to the negative effect about homosexuality or homosexuals, it's you're a homophobe. You can't say anything without getting backlash from these people.
Yes, sir. And LaVon, let me just say this. And of course, I've written on that, and the queer thing happened to America. I have a whole chapter on how people just push the hate button and try to defuse any rational interaction, civil conversation. But I find this useful, is to ask someone, can I disagree with you on any level? Can I on any level say that marriage is only the union of a man and woman, or that homosexual practice is wrong according to the scriptures? Can I bring any position that you will not consider hateful? Because basically the answer is no. So in other words, they paint themselves into a corner, and it's a good question to ask. Fair question. Is there anything I can say, any position I can bring? And I asked that to a gay activist who's now deceased that I built a relationship with by phone and email, a famous gay activist. I asked him that on the radio one day in D.C. Can I embrace you as a fellow human being, care for you, do everything I can as a friend, neighbor, but not embrace your homosexuality without me being homophobic? He goes, no, then you're homophobic. So we pray, and our the more blindness we see, the more our heart has to go out to people. So thank you, LaVon. I appreciate it.
No problem. I just keep up the good work, and I listen regularly, and I really enjoy the show. So have a good day.
Hey, I know you're out there, man. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Can I just say this, friends? I mentioned it yesterday. This will be going on for just a few weeks, so this is the window. If you believe in what we're doing, and you recognize there's a difference in what we're doing, and you know that our voice is making a difference, and if our voice wasn't here on the airwaves, there'd be a very, very loud silence. We need thousands of you listening to stand with us. If everyone joins in, it's very easy. It's not a big burden. Some of you can be very generous. We have been given a special grant. I don't even know who the person is, but someone says, we really believe in you, and we want you to succeed on the radio and keep touching people around the country and making a difference. So for every dollar that comes in, it becomes $1.50. That's what they're doing. If we get $100, they're adding in $50. If we get $1,000, they're adding in $500. I mean, they're going as far as to say $80,000, that we actually need much more than that. $80,000, they'll give $40,000. So we're going to put it all together and present it, and then they'll add in their part. But we need you to stand with us. So if you believe in what we're doing, and you want to stand with us, you want to express your appreciation, solidarity, if everyone does what they can, we'll have our needs met. Would you do that? 1-800-278-9978. If we're serving you, if we're ministering to you, it's like going in a restaurant. You're served, you're catered to, and then it's not expressing appreciation. You're paying, well, someone has to pay the bills. We do this together. 1-800-278-9978. I just want to say one thing quick and then back to the phones. You know, I know this firsthand, that there are big ministries, especially TV ministries, and they will bring special guests on who will tell you if you will send in $777 and put it on your credit card, you'll get a $7,777 miracle, and millions of dollars come in. I know it for a fact, okay? God forbid we'd ever go within a million miles of that. And yet, and I've talked to people, why is it when you just share a need in a righteous way and pray that people won't give, and when you give some kind of carnal gimmick and manipulate people, they give a lot? Ought not to be like that. So let's prove that wrong. 1-800-278-9978 or online. Take you a couple minutes. Just go right online on our homepage, AskDrBrown.org. Click support. You can stand with us. All right. To the phones, Jim in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you for your ministry. I just wanted to share two things with you, and then I'll get off the phone and listen to your response. I agree with you 100%. I am a recovering addict. This March, I'll be sober for 4 years. And I just want to say that in the Bible, it says that the fear of God, not the love of God, is the beginning of wisdom. And I think for all sins, whether it's homosexuality, drug abuse, whatever the sin is, it's because you don't, I or you or whomever, does not have a fear of God. And one of the questions I would have asked the gentleman who is an activist, homosexual activist, was if he met Jesus in person, and I know this is not, you know, real in as far as, you know, Jesus isn't walking the earth like he did 2,000 years ago, but if he met Jesus in person and Jesus told him that that behavior was wrong, would he then stop then, or would he then continue to rationalize his behavior? And thank you for your ministry.
All right, God bless you, man, and be strong in the Lord. He's faithful, and we grow in grace one day at a time, and then we look back and realize it's been years, it's been decades. What a miracle God works in us. Look, whatever the issue is in your life, whatever the issue is, if Scripture is clear that it's sinful, we're not talking about having a desire or struggling. I want to say as plainly as I can, you're not some monster or some defect if you're same-sex attracted or find other attractions and desires that are absolutely shameful. I mean, in the Brownsville Revival, people would come in and confess at the altar. And we'd find out afterwards, we didn't know who the individuals were, but they'd get prayer counsel at the end of the meeting after they came to repent and get right with God. And we'd be told what was going on in lives. You know, one prayer counselor was in a state of shock with a well-dressed, business-looking woman, you know, just looked to have her life together, and confesses to having, I don't even want to say it, but it's a person with animals, okay? It confesses to that. There are millions, there are heterosexuals just with all kinds of constant unclean thoughts. We recognize this is wrong. These thoughts, these desires are wrong. We do not have to be plagued by them, whatever they are. But it doesn't mean we're a hopeless monster. It means we are in need of redemption. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Desiree, Armando, David, hang on. We will get to your calls on the other side of the break. John has a question about pastors and elders. Are they equal? Is the pastor above elders? How does it work? There are different ways of reading New Testament teaching on leadership, John, to be perfectly candid with you. There are different ways. There is one way that sees the pastor as the senior leader with a team of elders supporting him as he serves. There are others that see the pastor as the lead elder, the chief among equals. There are others that see total collegiality, that you're just led by elders together. Whatever it is, if it's the church that you're part of, you have to be at home with it so that you can submit to that leadership and support it. Generally speaking, God will raise up one key person with a vision and an anointing, and then a team will come around to stand and support. But if you have elders, they should be ministering together, ideally with the pastor, but under his authority and leadership. That's what I'm most at home with, but there are many different ways to approach this and be faithful to the New Testament scriptures.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's so interesting to see. We're getting all these emails from supporters of gay activism, but not through our website the way we normally get them, but to a specific address within our website, ministry address, which is great. That's fine. But a lot of hostile ones are coming in. There's far more emails than for a normal show. So, you know, sure enough, there's a link that's been put up, and folks are told, contact us, which is great. I'm thrilled. Absolutely love to hear from them. But you're wondering, why are they all coming to that email address? So I just, during a break, confirm my suspicions. But it's great. Please keep them coming, and then call in, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome to the broadcast. Okay, I jumped in kind of mid-subject. So we did debate, Frank Turk and I, with Mitchell Gold, and we're getting a lot of emails from people very critical of it and upset with us, and we acted like immature teenagers, and we were bullying them, all the standard stuff, and people like us deserve to be silenced, all the rhetoric. So I was reading some of them in the last half hour. Now we're starting a whole bunch of you just joining in. So I kind of caught you midstream. Welcome to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. It's Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. There is a question, it's a week or two, a little over a week, from Marcus, wondering if Satan can mess with our emotions. I followed your website radio show now for about 18 months. Very appreciative. Thank you so much for that. Can Satan mess with our emotions? Of course he can, because that is a way that we can be tempted. That is a way that we can be discouraged, battered, that there can be attacks that we go through. Some days I've gotten up in the morning, everything's normal, everything's fine. But I feel, in other words, there's no problems, there are no difficulties, but I feel unbelievable oppression all around me. Unbelievable. And I think, okay, something's going on. So what do you do? Satan, I rebuke you, I rebuke you, Satan, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. Well, there are times to resist the devil. James, Jacob 4 tells us, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. However, the best thing to do is to really look to the Lord, to begin to worship him, to praise him, to out loud thank him, make a list of things you're thankful for, meditate on the scriptures, read the Bible out loud, pray in the spirit, commune with the Lord, put on some worship music, and then when you get to a place of blessing and sense of joy, and then you can rebuke the devil. And then also you can see, have you opened the door anywhere? Have you opened the door anywhere? Sometimes I've just been reading maybe scientific literature, or I remember one night I was reading about, watching a video about Alfred Kinsey, just the abominable stuff that he did with his sex studies, and it was just about him, but about him being a perverted man. It didn't get into talking about perversion, but it's just about him being a sexually perverted man, and tragically, he became this major, major figure in America, Man of the Year in Time magazine, and his studies still used today, and yet so much of it was horrific. And that night I had badly oppressive dreams, and I woke up in the morning saying, wow, that's wild, just dark material. I'm not talking about sexually explicit stuff. Of course, you don't want to touch that. But just the descriptions of this man and the darkness he lived in and the dark effect he had, and I had dark dreams. Yeah, I felt miserable in the morning. And what in the world was that? What in the world was that? Sometimes you don't even remember what you dream, but you just feel unclean. Something's wrong. And then I realized, you know, that was right before I went to sleep. I was watching this video, and it was an expose written by God, produced by people with strong moral values to expose him. And yet that was the last thing in my mind before I went to sleep. But anyway, yes, Satan can attack us, but he cannot rule us and own us if we are surrendered to Jesus. So commune with the Lord, get built up in God. And maybe you need some friends to stand with you. And if it's real severe, get some ministry. But ultimately, no, Satan has been defeated in Jesus, and we are overcomers through him. All right, back with your call. Stay with us. God.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, how have I been spending my break? I have been sending out chapters to a potential publisher, 6 chapters written so far in a little over a week, pouring out of me on what I believe will be the most important Jewish outreach tool I have ever put together, written. I've talked to other leaders in Jewish ministry, and they are all immediately excited about it. So please be praying with me. And then, during the break, reading emails from gay activists, friends, and the like who are massively hostile to what we're saying and doing. And of course, any disagreement is hate. So they hate me. Why are they being so hateful? Why all this hate speech toward me? No, I'm not gonna put it like that. But if you turn the thing around, that's exactly what we are dealing with, is it not? So I'm reading those and then interacting with a counter-missionary rabbi about a counter-missionary review of Shmuley's book, Kosher Jesus, a critical review of his book. So that's my life here, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm thrilled. I am thrilled to have the privilege of being here on the air with you. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. And my article is now up on the Huffington Post, getting some really interesting discussion about, can you be a Jew and follow Jesus? Do you convert to Christianity as a Jew? It's on townhall.com, called The Huffington Post, Three Rabbis and Me. So read it when you get a chance, all right? The Huffington Post, Three Rabbis and Me. If you're not on my email list, go to askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage, sign up. This way, when an article like this comes out, you'll be among the first people in not just your neighborhood, but in the universe. You'll be among the first people in the universe to get an email notification. Desiree in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hello. Good afternoon. I gave the gentleman who answered the radio. I have a concern. The issue of homosexuality and how it, the agenda is very much being pushed everywhere, not just, you know, in the entertainment world, but, you know, the schools and whatever. My concern is that it's you know, starting with the education in California, it's being pushed at such a young age.
Of course.
And I'm just seeing more and more younger and younger children identifying as something that is basically a sexual definition. Children
Absolutely.
That at that age of innocence shouldn't even be thinking of the concept of sexuality. How are they already identifying in terms of a sexual relation preference? And
yeah,
I'm concerned how just not just the definition of gender preference, but the sex in itself is being pushed then as well, you know?
There are a few issues all joined together, and your concerns are 100% valid. And I wish every parent, every believer in America, everyone who loves people would share that concern. Number one, on a larger level, yes, sex ed is being brought into the schools in more radical ways for younger kids. I've talked about it on the air here, especially in the New York area, where they've got a crazy radical curriculum beginning with middle schoolers, a school in Massachusetts that started giving out condoms for first grade up. First grade! What do you
Absolutely.
First grade! Okay, but then there's the other side to it, which is homosexual activism, wanting to get kids from the earliest age to accept, well, this one has two mommies, this one has two daddies, and then you should explore, and maybe you're gay, or maybe you're transgender, maybe you're not at home with your gender. And these things are being brought to impressionable kids. And a queer thing happened to America, Desiree. The third chapter, is just devoted to what's happening in our children's schools, and it's unbelievable. Then you have the constant bombardment through the media and this gal kissing this gal in the movies and these guys having sexual relationships. You get little kids watching this. You get teenagers watching it. You get impressionable people. There is a plague. I hear this all over America from educators. There is a plague of teenage girls from middle school up experimenting with bisexuality, that it's the cool thing, girl on girl. The confusion that comes. You've got more and more people being raised in homes with massive gender confusion. We must get involved and make a difference if we care for kids. You say, if we teach tolerance, kids won't be bullied. Kids get bullied for obesity all the time. Do we teach that fat is good, or do we teach that bullying is bad? You don't have to teach that gay is good to teach that bullying is bad. So, Desiree, you're 100% right. We need to be concerned. We need to pray. We need to get involved, and we need to pour into our own kids. So thank you for raising that. You're 100% right. I appreciate it.
Can I just say, how would you pray for this? I try to reach out, especially to young women who have this kind of confusion. A lot of them are seeking the Lord, and they've already had these kind of things, whatever their background. What is a good way to pray for this? I mean, is this a demonic situation? I don't know how to pray.
There are lots of different combinations. I'm just having Randy here hand me a book over there. That pile, Sweet Lie of Lesbianism. I want to make sure I get the title right. Thanks, man. It's Sharon Lawson, Lawson.
Uh-huh.
The Sweet Lie of Lesbianism. The deception I thought would make me happy. It is really written with sensitivity. It's written in particular to women who want to follow the Lord and are struggling with this. It's full of truth and freedom. I was sent a couple of copies of it and read through it, and I thought, this nails it, with real understanding. The Sweet Lie of Lesbianism, Sharon Lawson.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
and that'll give you some good insight, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate
all right,
your input.
You're very welcome. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Daryl in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
You're there. Yes,
hey,
you're
you
on
doing?
The air. Go ahead.
Great. First of all, I'd like to say I enjoy the show. I'm really blessed by it. And I just wanted to make a comment. I think that it's very important, you know, as Christians, that we do examine ourselves. I think, especially politically, I think a lot of our views, not Christians, but in the secular world, have been a lot of it. You can sense hate in some people's voice. Like you can, on a lot of radio commentators, you can sense the hate. And so that kind of scars anybody that might disagree with, like, the present administration. Most people think, well, if you have a few people that are hating, they assume that anybody that now disagrees hates.
Yeah, and you know, Daryl, it's interesting. During the Bush administration, I was hearing the people say Lynch Bush. I was seeing bumper stickers calling for his killing. And it's insane. It's not a black and white thing. It's normally Republican, Democrat, conservative versus liberal. And what happens is, if you didn't catch it, like maybe you didn't hear it during the Bush administration, but now you're hearing it with the Obama administration. And then, of course, I'm sensitive to it in different ways. But the whole political scene, man, can get really ugly. And then Christians can get caught up into it and become.
I just feel like with Christians, you know, we just have to examine ourselves, make sure that that's not the spirit we have. Like, I listen to you the way you speak, and it's very clear that you don't have that spirit on you. You know, I think the devil has a way of getting men by having us sometimes, if you're a Christian, that allow that to come on hatred or division. You know, it's like when I played sports or whatever, even though I may not have liked the quarterback, I still wouldn't speak against him. You know, I still wouldn't. Now, I may have disagreed with him personally, and I may have said I disagreed with it, but I didn't have that spirit of division or hatred. So I just think we just have to examine ourselves as individuals. You know, there are people that have hatred towards people because of the color of their skin. There are people
Of their skin or 100 other issues.
Right,
you're absolutely right.
Right.
And we as believers have to step higher, have to set a different example, have to demonstrate that Jesus in us has made a difference. And in fact, Frank Turek and I, after the debate on Wednesday, independently, we both went back and listened to the show because our biggest issue is being Christian witnesses. And I told Mitchell Gold before, during, and after the show, the one thing I did not want to happen, was the gay activist Mitchell Gold, was that he would feel ganged up on because it was two of us talking. That's where we did our best to give him more time and to interact a certain way. And we both wrote very cordial, gracious notes to one another, signed them in books. That's got to be it, that we...
I just think we just need to warn the church, don't give any place to the devil. We can disagree, we can have our opinions, we can be strong with them, and we can even push for our way of doing things, but we just have to examine our hearts. You have to make sure that we're not hating people that God has commanded us to love, and like you said, that is the light that we have that's in this world. And
yes, sir.
I'm blessed by your show, I really enjoy it, and I started listening to it probably you know, for this last year. But
awesome.
I'm going to continue listening. We're looking forward to supporting you.
Oh, well, Daryl, God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man.
Okay.
Listen, we should be known of all things as the people who love each other, right? So
yeah.
God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daryl.
Okay.
Hey, since Daryl raised the issue of support, let me mention again that we have a window of time through the generosity of an anonymous friend of a friend who believes in what we're doing and wants to help us meet our radio obligations and reach people around the nation. And by God's grace, things are happening here that I dare say you will not find happening other broadcasts, because we have our mission just like they have theirs. So for every dollar that comes in, it's going to become $1.50. For every $100 that comes in, it's going to become $150. For every $1,000 that comes in, $1,500. Up to $80,000 will become $120,000. So I need you to call and help us. Would you do that if you believe in us, if you're blessed? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Let's make a difference. Let's give the devil a back eye. Let's encourage the Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, don't email, don't call. I put two phrases together as I was running out of time. And I said that as you give, it will encourage the Lord. The Lord does not need encouragement, okay? What it would do is encourage us, encourage me, hold our hands up as we focus on the work of the Lord and don't have to be burdened down by finances. And it would glorify the Lord. It would bring a smile to God's face as people stand together. So. It's just not a new theology. If you send money to this ministry, you'll encourage the Lord, because he's down, he's discouraged. And No. That was just a verbal typo. Squeezed in. I'm looking at the clock and squeezed in two concepts together. I mean, that's the way I've been writing and stuff been pouring out of me. And sometimes I'll have 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters open at the same time on my computer because I got a thought for this one, thought for that one, thought for that one. A verbo. That's it. A verbo. Thank you. Thank you, Beth Ann. That was a verbo. There we go. A question from Frank. He tries to share the gospel with a dear friend. The guy basically says, why should I be interested in the Jewish God or its Messiah? I'm born in the United States, not Israel. Why should I care about a Middle Eastern God? Doesn't impress me. Yes, Frank, there is no magic bullet, as you say, but the answer has to be this. Frank, this is not a Middle Eastern God. This is the God who created the universe. And he shows us who he is by working in one part of the world. Why do you think it is that there's so much controversy about this one piece of land when the Bible says there would be? Why do you think there's so much controversy about this one group of people that was called chosen and that God said he would scatter around the earth and yet regather? Why are they still around? You know, India and China are ancient nations with a pedigree as far back as Israel's, and yet they've each got over 1 billion people, Israel, Jewish people worldwide, maybe 13, 14 million. What happened? And yet we're still here. And that's the first thing, to say, hey, why the city of Jerusalem? Why all the controversy over the city of Jerusalem? Why that? That's in the Bible. So get his attention to say God acted in a certain part of the world to get the attention of the entire world. That's the first thing. And tell him, there's one God who created the universe, and one God who's communicating to us, and one God that has a way to find him. If he was the boss of a company, would everyone come in and tell him what their job application is going to look like? And so if he was the boss of a company, would everyone tell him what hours they're going to work or what they're going to be paid? No, he would set it. He would set the standards. There's one God. He set the standards. He found a person that he could work through, Abraham, and through him communicate it, and from this little Middle Eastern place gone around the whole world, so that the world divides the calendar from before Christ and after. Why? That's the way I would approach it. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will bring him under conviction of sin. 866-34-TRUTH, Daryl in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
I'm actually a new listener. I just started listening to your radio station, and I'm absolutely impressed with it, first of all. I ask that, and I pray that God continue to bless you and through all the ministry. I have an opinion on the debate that y'all had Wednesday about homosexuality.
Yeah, and same-sex marriage, so-called. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is coming from a guy whose mother, you know, actually chose that route of homosexuality. I believe that we as people distort God's word and God's message to appease our own hearts and our own thoughts, you know. God has been revealing to me lately that an excuse is nothing but justification of the mind, which you want to convey through your heart, you know, what you feel in your heart.
Yeah, the fact is, and sorry to hear what's happened in your mom's life. Is she still alive?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, we choose to act on certain things. We choose to give ourselves to a desire. I don't know that anyone would choose, I'm going to be gay, I'm going to be bisexual, as much as choose to give ourselves to a desire. But obviously, you know, keep praying for your mom to really find wholeness in the Lord. But, you know, Daryl, what we all do, sir, what we all do as human beings, this has nothing to do with homosexual or not, all of us as human beings, we have that tendency to rationalize. I remember, Daryl, one time while I was fasting, and I felt I was supposed to fast for 5 days. I really wanted to break through and get clarity and wisdom from the Lord. And during the fast, I got the answer I was looking for. Actually, before I started the fast, and by the third day, I was ready to quit, you know, 5-day water fast. And I rationalized my way out of it, that it was fine, that the Lord was giving me the release to break the fast. And Nancy said to me, you need to write down what God laid on your heart before the fast, because it seems to change while you are fasting. We can all do it. That's why the word, Hebrews 4:12, it divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And in other words, that is the thing that cannot, will not change. Real quick, Dan in West Des Moines, Iowa, we're short on time, but your question's important. Please go for it.
Yes. Okay, in some states you can't opt your child out of these sex ed classes, and some you can. And I expressed to my kid, I have two kids, a 13-year-old boy, 9-year-old daughter. I expressed to their principals and teachers, et cetera, that I don't approve of the fact that they're teaching my kids sexual principles. That's my job. What do we do when it comes to the point you can't opt your kid out? And, I mean, how far is this going to go?
Yeah, well, it is the law, Dan, in California now. This is law, SB 48, mandatory celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender history in all classes, all grades. Teachers and students cannot opt out. What you have to do then, unless you have a kid that is so strong, you can just pour into them and help them be a witness in the midst of it, you have to figure a way to get them out of the school. If they're going to be polluted and hear things that you're absolutely morally against, no one has a right to do that to your kid. You can contact attorneys' organizations, tellADF.org or LC.org, and see if there's anything you could do legally. Otherwise, you have to figure out a way to get your kid into a Christian school or homeschool. We don't have an alternative. We can't let them be polluted or destroyed. That's where the church has to help those that can't do it on their own. All right, friends, remember, we've got a window of time, a short window, with a generous gift coming our way, up to $40,000. Of matching funds. We get a dollar, it becomes $1.50. We get $200, it becomes $300. This is to keep us on the air, speaking to you, making a difference around America and around the world. And by God's grace, amazing things are happening on a daily basis. But call us, stand with us. Would you do that? Just an appeal from someone whose voice I believe you can take seriously. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or stand with us online. Ask DrBrown.org. My bottom line today, a friend of mine recently said, I don't know if this is the last generation, but it's our last generation. What are you going to do with the life that God gave you? What are you going to do with the time you have when you stand before Him? Live so you can die without regret.